Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So I'm reading the scripture in the book of Colossians. So that's the letter that Paul sent to the church in that city, Colossae, right? And I'm looking at chapter one, and I'm like completely blown away, right? I'm reading this in the NLT, the New Living Translation version. So a little different from the NIV, and it's a description of Jesus. And I'm like, this is amazing. Jesus is incredible. I'm like, this is Jesus? So I want to read that for you right now. Colossians 1 in verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Wow. I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking, if we only had this scripture, if we only had this description of Jesus, I feel like it would be enough to understand like the majesty of Jesus. It would be more than enough. I mean, this gives us so much about our Lord and our Savior. It says that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he existed before all of this was even thought about, right? And all of this was actually made through him. But he didn't just make all of this. He actually made all the stuff that we can't even see, the stuff in the spiritual realm. And it says that he is supreme over all creation and that he holds all creation together. Think about that. Jesus literally sustains the universe. After reading this, I think it's safe to say that all of creation revolves around Jesus, around his power, his might, his sacrifice. It's all about Jesus. Everything revolves around him. Do you? Does your life revolve around Christ? Or do you live as though the world revolves around you? Who's at the center of your universe? Is it God or is it you? You know, I want to explore that a little bit today because as we continue in our Experiencing God series, we're going to discuss how living a God-centered life opens the door for us to experience God. So, and I'm not just talking about like just knowing of God or knowing somebody who knows God, right? I'm not even talking about like just reading the Bible or saying a quick prayer before you eat or like singing to God or even doing for God. We're talking about having a dynamic and vibrant relationship with God, a relationship that leads to a life that goes beyond the physical and into the spiritual, that goes beyond the natural and into the supernatural, beyond the ordinary and into the extraordinary, a life that cannot be explained without the power and the presence of God. That's what it means to experience God. And we can do that when we live a God-centered life. All right? So, in order to understand this concept a little better, you know, I had to start, you know, looking up at the universe, looking up at our solar system. And I think it really helps us to understand what it means to live our lives centered on God when we look at the solar system and we look at the sun. The sun, we know, is the center of our solar system, and we know the planets revolve around the sun. So, in the same way that the planets orbit the sun, our lives should orbit the sun, like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing we know about the sun is that without the sun, there is no possibility for life, because the sun provides most of the heat, the energy, the light that makes life possible. And that's the same thing with Jesus Christ, with the Son of God. Without the Son of God, there is no possibility for eternal life. Now, don't know if you know this or not, but I did a little bit of research. All my scientist friends will be proud of me. What I learned was that the reason a planet orbits the sun and the sun does not orbit a planet is that the lighter object orbits around the heavier one. And the sun is by far the heaviest object in the solar system, containing 99.8% of the solar system's mass. That's almost all of it. About 300 years ago, Sir Isaac Newton discovered that the more massive objects produce a bigger gravitational pull than the lighter ones. So as the heavyweight in our solar system, the sun exerts the strongest gravitational pull. What does this tell us? This tells us that we weren't built to be the center of anything. We weren't created with that type of weight. We just don't have that kind of pull. But God does. And now, you may remember the movie Men in Black, you know, old school classic. And I love the final scene in that. That scene has always stuck with me. And how it just comes out, it expands out, and it gives you a perspective of what it could be like, really, and how small we really are. And I know it's just make-believe, but looking at this, this helps me see kind of where we stand before God. And it makes God so much bigger than my day-to-day, right? My life, when our world may just be a marble that God is playing with, right? And so this is helpful because the mistake that we make is that in our selfishness and pride, we make ourselves the center of our universe and expect the world to revolve around us. I say pride because we think we're the most important thing on the planet. We think we know it all, or at least we know more than most people. And some people actually think they know more than God, even though they've been here for a few years and God has been here before and will be here after. But, you know, some people really think they know more. And what happens when we have that type of pride? Well, the only sensible outcome is that we focus the energy that we do have, very limited amount of energy and life and breath and mental capacity and attention, and we focus all of that on pleasing ourselves first. And that's called selfishness. So I say it again, we aren't built to be the center of anything. We weren't created with that type of weight. We just don't have that type of pull, y'all. But God does. God does. And so the alternative to making ourselves the center of the universe, of course, is to put God in that place. And with a little humility, we can start building a deep conviction that He is the source of everything that we are and everything that we have. That means that our lives, our hearts, our minds, our dreams revolve around Him. Our schedule revolves around Him. Our finances revolve around Him. Our relationships revolve around Him. I mean, I know you all can remember. I know we are all good Christians, but at some point, I know you can remember when we were foolish enough to try to make ourselves the center of our universe. We did what we wanted, how we wanted, when we wanted, and dare I say, who we wanted. All out of this desire to please ourselves. And we know how that worked out, don't we? We know that it was destructive. We know how it hurt others around us, how it hurt us, the guilt and the shame that it brought us when we wanted to do things our way and make ourselves the center of the universe. I think it's important to talk about our marriages right now, right? Because even in our marriages, it could be so easy to forget where God has brought us from. Because, you know, some of us can relate to being married before we were Christians. Some of y'all were married before you were Christians, right? And so you remember where your marriage was, the frustration, the fights, the infidelity that you all experienced in the world because God was not at the center. Now, the scary thing is that we can easily stray back into that. Easily we can go back and drift away from being God-centered. And our marriages start to revolve around other things, right? Our marriages start to revolve around our careers. And so that becomes the most important thing. And so everything, it's like, whoa, we got to make sure everything is set around that. And so, man, we're really busy, but if we can squeeze in some time to be together, right? Our marriages start revolving around our kids and everything's about our kids and we got to take care of our kids and we got to take our kids' activities and do all this. And sometimes couples go weeks, months, years without spending time going on a date, going on vacation together, spending extended time just working on their own relationship. Or even our marriages can start revolving around unresolved conflict, the elephant in the room, right? And so everybody just walks around that elephant in the house and we know we're doing okay because we still get to function, but we know that there's something there that we're just not totally at peace with. We're not where we need to be, and yet we allow that conflict just to sit there. That's what it looks like when we start drifting away, and that's when we need to know that we need to get back to center. And so this is a great time to evaluate your relationship. We know the pandemic is here. We know we've gone through some hard times, but man, this is a great time. Put God back at the center and give yourselves and your relationship a fresh start. That process of making God the center again, living God-centered lives, that can be summed up in one word, repentance. That's what it's all about. That's what we all had to do when we first decided to follow Jesus, to become disciples, to get baptized, right? We had to repent. We had to take ourselves off of the pedestal and put Jesus there. Take ourselves off the throne and put Jesus there. And that's what we have to do over and over again since then, to realign ourselves again with the Son of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This scripture teaches us that we have to stay aligned. We got to give careful thought to the paths that we take and we have to be steadfast in our ways. So we have to go in the right direction. We have to be traveling along the right path. And steadfast simply means that we're unwavering in that direction that we're headed. This scripture says that we shouldn't swerve to the right or to the left. Go off track, right? Because that's where evil awaits. Now, anybody that has driven a car, can easily feel when the car needs an alignment, right? You find yourself having to do the extra work to keep the car going straight because the moment you relax your hands, the car starts to swerve. And at first, it's very minute. I mean, you can barely tell. But if you don't get it worked on, it just keeps going further and further off the track onto another lane, right? Now, not only is it much harder to drive when your car needs an alignment, but it can result in an accident. And that accident most likely will cost you more than it would have just to get it aligned, to take it to the shop and get it right. Now, sometimes we need an alignment spiritually, right? Spiritually speaking, we need to get back aligned with God when we're no longer God-centered, when we've veered off, when we've started to swerve to the right or to the left. That's when it's really hard to stay on track spiritually. That's where evil awaits. And ultimately, we crash. It's really hard to drive. And ultimately, we crash. And it costs us more in that moment than it would have if we would have just gotten that spiritual alignment in the first place. But it's when we're in that proper alignment that we really get to experience God. And I remember seeing this in the life of one of my friends, Will. And Will recently became a Christian, but as he was wrestling things out with God and wrestling things out with becoming a Christian and following Jesus, he really had to figure out if he was gonna live a God-centered life or not. And so, you know, he had a moment of weakness and he went out and he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be one weekend and he left a bunch of money in his car and he got robbed. And he was struggling. So after that, he called me up and he said, hey, I just want to tell you what happened. I lost this money and I can't pay my rent now. And yeah, I just wanted to see, you know, what I should do. And I thank God for Brother Cliff because Cliff was in his life too. And I said, okay, let's talk about this thing. But at that moment, Will wanted a handout. He wanted help, you know, financially. And what I told Will was this. I said, now it's time for you to trust God. Now it's time for you to really put your faith in God. Now is the time that you got to make a decision. Because Will was, he was struggling. He was tempted to try to make that money back in a worldly way, to go back to the street. He knew how he could do it. And he's tempted to do that. But he's like, I don't want to go back down that road. I don't want to start swerving that far to the right or to the left where evil awaits. And let me tell you, when I told him that he needs to figure this out, he needs to trust God, he needs to pray, and I gave him some advice on some different opportunities, different options he has, he was hot. And he'd be the first one to tell you that. He was mad because he's like, he just wanted the easy fix. But because we didn't bail him out at that point, he was able to really experience God. And what happened was that he started researching some different organizations that were helping with paying the rent. We're in a pandemic. There's organizations that have money to do that. And there was a couple of dead ends, but he was on the Nextdoor app and he was scrolling. And he saw this post, had all these comments. And it said that they were helping out with, you know, paying the rent of Clayton County residents. And so he calls them up and he puts in his application and he talks to this really nice lady and he's sharing with her his story and where he's come from, what he's trying to do. And at the end of the conversation, she says, you know, we usually pay 1 month's rent, but we're actually going to pay 3 months' rent in your situation. Above and beyond what he could ever ask for or imagine, right? And so you can tell, you already know how he was riding that excitement of seeing God work in that way, right? And experiencing God in that way. And he became a Christian November 29th of last year. And he was baptized. It was amazing. And then, but after that, he continued to just live that God-centered life, and God continued to bless it, and he was able to experience God. He got the dream job. He had recently got his master's degree in IT, but nobody was hiring in 2020, right? And so after he got baptized, he got his dream job in IT. But then there became another problem. He needed to figure out how his daughter was going to be taken care of. They needed to put his daughter into daycare, right? And you know, daycare is expensive. And so he started looking around, and lo and behold, they found a grant that would pay the daycare costs. So he calls him up. He's talking to him, filled out the application. Guess what, y'all? They decided to pay a year's worth of his daycare payments. That's not all. The daycare they end up going to is the same daycare that Misty and Avis have their daughter in. And it's the same daycare that last year when we did our hero project, their small group, Misty and Avis' small group, actually encouraged and blessed that daycare and encouraged the workers there. And so you just see God working in all of this. And Will was so excited because he got to experience God on his own. But it took him actually getting aligned, repenting, and taking those next steps to go into the right direction. And in that moment where everything could have fallen apart, he decided, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to trust in myself anymore. I'm not going to do things my way anymore. I'm going to trust God. And God came through, as he always does. God always comes through. I hope that story encourages you, because my hope for this series that we're in about experiencing God is that we will all understand what that looks like, what that feels like, right? What it's like to walk with God. There's nothing more exciting, more invigorating in this life than being able to be in step with the Holy Spirit. That's when we experience an intimacy with God that is so fulfilling. And that's when we tap into the supernatural. With one foot in the physical, one foot in the spiritual realm, I want us to feel what it's like to experience God speaking clearly to us, right? To giving us wisdom and solving our problems, right? Answering our prayers, encouraging us, opening doors and closing doors, and guiding us on the right path. I want us to know what it's like when we don't have the answer to a question, we don't know what we should do, and we just ask God, and then we pray and we wait. We wait for him to answer, and we watch him work, knowing that we don't have to take matters into our own hands, that we don't have to feel the pressure to solve every problem. That's the adventure. His adventure is so much more and so much more exciting than we can ever ask for or imagine. When we experience God, it gives us the confidence to bring others along with us, right? Why bring others along into man-made experiences when we can experience God together? Why bring others along to the natural when we can experience the supernatural together? Why bring them along for the ordinary when we can experience the extraordinary together? That is my hope. That is my prayer, that as a church, we can experience a deep and vibrant relationship with God, because that's the power of living a God-centered life. Because remember, we are not built to be the center of anything. We weren't created with that type of weight. We just don't have that type of pull, but God does. This week, I have an assignment for you. This week, I want us to ask God, God, show us the ways, the areas in our lives where we need to get back centered, right? Where we need to realign and get back right under the lordship of Jesus. That is the homework for this week. Maybe we've gotten off track completely, right? And our lives have started to revolve around other things, career, maybe a relationship. Maybe it's our goals and dreams, money, something else completely. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're off track completely. Maybe it's a specific area in our lives that has gotten off track. We talked about marriage before, but it could be, you know, our parenting. It could be our finances. It can be the way we spend our time. It can be the way we're raising our kids. Just let's ask God, What do I need to get back aligned to be to make sure you are at the center of my life? And that's when we're going to be able to experience God in new and fresh ways. You know, as we take communion right now, let's close out with that same scripture that we started out with. Because I want us to remember that Jesus is worthy of being at the center. He has what it takes to be able to hold everything together. And I know that because of this really cool passage that I found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And because of that crucifixion, because of what he did for us on the cross, we can have peace with him. And we can trust him that in the same way he holds all things together, he can hold our lives together as well. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much that we get to know him and witness his life through the scriptures. And thank you, God, for the example that he set. Thank you for the way he died for us, the way he shed his blood for us, the way he was tortured for us, the things that we deserve. He was able to go through them all because of his love for us. And so, God, we thank you for your perfect plan. We are not worthy of it. We are humbled by it. And yet we hope and pray that we can respond with gratitude and know deep down, have a deep conviction with great humility to know that you have to be at the center of our lives. God, help us to put you there. Help us to keep you there and expose and show us the areas of our lives where we need to get realigned to be centered on you. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.